We're about to welcome back St. Louis Public Radio's Cut and Paste podcast, returning after a break so that our arts and culture producer reporters Nancy Fowler and Willis Ryder Arnold could catch their breath and retool their productions. They've been listening to you, so this third season promises to be just a little bit different. Nancy and Willis join me in studio to tell us what they've been up to and where Cut and Paste is going. Thanks. Nice to see you both once again.
Good to see you, Don.
You've had a little bit of a hiatus, busy every day with the day-to-day reporting, but the podcast is back.
Absolutely, yeah. We've taken a little time to find out more about what people really want to hear in our podcast.
This is the new approach. Nancy, we'll start with you. A new approach to it this the season. We'll call them seasons now.
Let's call it a season. Yeah, So, yeah, it's some of it's not so new as it is a sort of a solidification of the things that the highlights that people really wanted to hear more of. And we began with a survey, and we asked people whether they listened to Cut and Paste or not, a bunch of questions about what they wanted to experience and hear, and we listened to their answers.
Willis, what did you find out from that survey?
Well, it turns out we found out a couple things that people really wanted. There was this strong emphasis on stories, anecdotes, and kind of what's going on behind the scenes. We sort of expected that people would really want to hear stories about, like, process, how a specific work was made, what the intention was. But it turned out that many people really wanted to hear what's going on with the artist, what's their story, what's their personal narrative.
So to whom did you turn initially as you get geared up for this new season, and where did it take you?
We turned to social media.
Well, of course.
And social media said, yes, we will bring you people. And we got people from, you know, many walks of life. One of the things that interested me is so many people who – they might be an attorney or a therapist or an accountant, but so many people that listen to Cut and Paste also make art on their own, you know, even just a little bit or maybe a lot. And they're really interested in how these people came to be full-time artists and how they make it work in their lives and sort of anecdotes about that and lessons learned.
Well, Willis, the subject of your first podcast in the new season is exactly that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's Nika Marble. She's a pianist and actually a, I guess you call, some would say a bartender, but others call it a mixologist. She's incredibly knowledgeable about how to make cocktails as well. And so she actually draws a lot of comparisons between those things. And so we get a little bit of that, what's life like and what's the art like. And actually, we have a clip from her about kind of working with her partner, Lewis Wall, on their musical partnership, which they call Marble Wall.
She's a composer and a singer, a performer, is that correct?
Not a singer necessarily, but she does compose, and then they do a lot of improvisation as well, a lot of work where they'll take something like a book or another artistic reference, and then they'll kind of like develop a soundscape around that.
All right. Well, let's take a listen.
We decided this was our strength, was this idea that we could riff off of each other or riff off of a piece of text. One time, we had a show where people would live elocute their stories. We would say, does anyone have a story they want to tell? And we would narrate it with our music.
Just right there on the spot.
Yes, and so that was very well received. We had a show at Foam that was so funny. A man told us about his parakeet's Viking funeral.
Parakeet's Viking funeral.
Yes. Can you give us just a brief synopsis of that story?
From what I remember, the parakeet died, and there's a pond in the backyard, and they made a boat out of loose driftwood and set it aflame. There's some very intense crescendos in our response to this story.
So how are you actually like drawing on those stories in order to then produce accompanying music in that moment?
Just emotional intensity. We're listening to it as it sort of ebbs and flows. If someone's talking about, say, canoeing down the river, maybe it's sort of melancholic, very legato.
You're flowing your hand. You're flowing with your hands like water right now under the microphone.
Yes, I am. Very gesticular. Music is always about gesture, though. But then if the canoe flips over and you're like, holy, oh my God, this canoe is going to flip.
Then
of course,
music changes.
Will change. The tempo will change. And I think the fact that I am moving with my hands shows just how like tactile music is. It's not just something you hear. It's something you feel. It's something that your body responds to.
So how did some of these same principles and this sort of spontaneity and improvisation resonate in being a mixologist as well?
You never know who's going to walk into your bar. Oh, my goodness. I meet everybody at Olio, and everybody has this thing that they like or this thing that they don't think they like. And it's interesting precisely because of its liminality. You have to work within someone else's parameters or what you have on hand. Like, a lot of what I have to work with is seasonal or... again, just limited to, oh my God, we ran out of this. What am I going to do instead? And I like this idea that working with what you've got and sort of understanding the elemental nature of it is really central to making people happy in that realm. Also, I've noticed over the years that this idea of introducing people to things that are unfamiliar is really compelling to me in mixology. And so it's very interesting to draw people out of their shells and say, well, do you like things that are tonic or medicinal, or do you like citrus and sweet? Or how are you feeling today? How can I sort of mimic what you're feeling with a flavor profile? And it's not unlike improvising music. How can I make a representation of your story with these tools of a drum kit and a piano that I'm working with?
Nika Marble, very pretty speaking voice.
Yes.
And really very, very pleasant to listen to. What kind of success has she had professionally beyond the mixology part of it?
Well, musically, she's really been able to play a bunch of improvisational shows with her partner, Lewis Wall. Mm-hmm. They've done stuff at the Kranzberg Arts Center. They've done stuff at 2720 Cherokee, I believe, or at least a venue down on Cherokee Street.
Foam.
At Foam as well. And I think that they've really incorporated kind of that unexpected musical approach.
And they've been received well?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were talking about it and talking about like those ways in which, you know, they're able to bring in people's narratives from the audience or take this piece of art from out in the world that's a reference that people may already know and turn it into something completely unexpected.
I gather, Nancy, that she's a very creative person in other ways as well.
Yes. She's also a collage maker, and she spends a lot of time at Olio and Elia, which is the old gas station and building next to it in the Botanical Heights neighborhood of South St. Louis. So that's her studio for creating in the mixology realm. And the late hours sort of lend themselves to then she'll go home after that and she needs to unwind. So she might, do some collage work or, some other, work on her music in some way. And she sees all the parallels, all the creativity kind of flow in and out and among the different pursuits that she has. Mm-hmm. And there's a sort of an existential dilemma in that, too. Like, how does she see herself? Mixologist or musician, how do other people see her? So in this clip, she talks a little bit about that as well as about the parallels among the different endeavors that she has.
And the job, despite being so rigorous, is very invigorating in the sense that I do get to use my creativity there. It's never repetitive. It's never the same. It's sometimes infuriating, existential. Sometimes it's very joyful. Sometimes you have these customers who just broaden your world.
So the collage making and maybe some other activities seem like more solitary pursuits, and yet being behind a bar is a very social activity. How do you sort of navigate those two worlds?
Oh my God, I don't. So it's actually kind of difficult as a person who is incredibly introverted but has a very extroverted job. It's kind of I won't say a leech of energy, but it does draw from parts of me that are sort of limited. So the bartending is almost like a performance in and of itself. This idea that I am here to perform a role and to give you an experience is very intentional, I think, whereas with the art making, particularly the collage and the painting, I can just sort of meander instead of having to be so rapidly improvisational or on the spot or constantly thinking a few steps ahead. It's more stream of consciousness. It's much less constructed.
Do you worry then that people kind of lead with you as a mixologist or put too much emphasis on your day job when you have these creative endeavors that are drawing on kind of the same skill sets?
Yeah, I actually do worry about that. And it can also be a challenge to put out and create work when you're working the kind of job I do, when you're the face of a place, or when you're managing anything. When you have to sink that much time into it, I think there's kind of an inevitable identity crisis where, oh my God, am I an artist who waits tables? Am I a waiter who occasionally makes art? This is a thing that has worried myself and a lot of my friends in their lives. And I think there's a balance to be found, but it's really hard to get there. I don't even know if I've found it yet. I find that the more I make things, the better I feel about it, which is why even if I'm completely exhausted, I have to put in the time, or else I will just feel awful.
Once again, Nika Marble. Nancy, how did you find Nika?
Well, we had bandied about the idea of talking with a mixologist. And I actually, again, turned to social media. I put something on Facebook. Hey, you know, who are some mixologists who consider themselves artists as well? And actually, our own Kelly Moffitt, one of the producers of this very show, suggested Nika Marble, and went and talked to her at the bar. And she seemed like she had a really good story.
She mentioned something that I've often wondered about. Maybe you can help me out on this. I find that a lot of creative people are introverts. You know, they can be very expressive in their art, but in terms of relating one-on-one, it's a different story. Have you found that?
I think it really depends on the person, but it is something that people have to consider and they have to kind of reckon with. You have to be able to draw on those internal reserves in order to be creative, in order to be able to find the expression either intellectually or emotionally and come up with an interesting way of presenting that. And I think that that can then be difficult when you're trying to either present the work or get people to engage with it and yourself beyond the work itself. And it's interesting because people have had to find ways to kind of navigate it, things like social media, or when you're at a gallery show, how do you step out of yourself and out of the process that you're engaged in to talk about the work and get people interested as much in yourself as they are in your work?
Have you found that to be the case, Nancy, this introvert quality?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, recently I did a story about an artist, a muralist here. Her name is Faring Perth, and she had an exhibition on Cherokee Street recently, and she was there, and she's a little bit, you know, not quite as social as she needed to be that night. And she said, I'm trying so hard to be charming. You know, you could, and she was indeed, but it wasn't her natural habitat. And as an artist who, though, wants her work seen and known, it's a role that she wanted to also cultivate. Yeah.
I hear the story about Johnny Carson a lot. And here's a guy who was on television for 25 years or whatever it was, 5 days a week, and very funny and much appreciated by the crowds, but absolutely an introvert. Once the camera was off and the lights were down, he was just a kind of a quiet guy that didn't talk very much. It's hard to believe that someone like that would have that kind of personality.
I don't know, Don. Maybe you would know something about that.
Well, no, not I. Not
okay.
No comparison there. What kind of themes will you be looking at in this new season?
Well, our next cut and paste is about a pair of friends, and they have a musical group called The Knuckles. And they've known each other for a while and just discovered their musical collaboration. And Rocky Knuckles, is a rap artist, and Aloha Michaud, is a pop vocalist who's also trying to define herself in other ways, as they both are. They don't want to be pigeonholed, but they seem to have some sort of what they can only describe sort of as magic together. Mm-hmm. And very interesting to talk with them.
Well, Willis, my impression is from having talked to Kelly Moffitt once again, there she is again, and others, is that you're going to be doing some interesting things with sound this time around. What kinds of things are we talking about?
I think one of the things that we're really trying to do is accentuate the stories that are being told. Again, like when we did the survey, looking at what people have to say, we're really focused on what the narrative is that they're telling. So we're going to use sound, not necessarily in this like overwhelming sense, but in a way that is going to be specifically targeted to highlight what those stories are. It's kind of like a common tenet in traditional radio reporting, you know, have your supporting sound support the story. But it's something that when we ask people about it, they really leaned into that idea. And no one asked for really embellished, over-the-top productions. But like with this Nika Marble piece, you could hear music throughout. And part of that was because of the ways in which the very music that she was making kind of illustrated her points throughout. You can hear her talk about like needing to engage with multiple different influences and things like that. And then there's a little bit more chaotic music, or talking about finding that inner peace to be making work and be an introvert, and then there's a little bit more of a softness to the music. So trying to do something really direct and deliberate about making sure that the sound is reflective of the story.
Was the music we were hearing in the Nika interview her music?
Yeah, so that was actually a very specific piece, one of the ones that she herself is most proud of, that they did at the Kranzberg.
I believe so. It was the piece based on a beheading by Nabokov.
Wait a minute, did I hear that correctly?
Invitation to a Beheading, I believe, is the name of the literary work that inspired that piece.
Right. And so they give this kind of like preamble before the performance, which you could find on SoundCloud and listen to, that explains a little bit of how they engaged with this piece of writing and how it influenced then their approach to the music. And then they just play for like a solid hour, which is not rehearsed in the same way as you might think of like a concert being rehearsed.
How far ahead, Nancy, are you able to work and plan these podcasts?
Fairly far ahead. I mean, we have several in the works. We have one that's definitely scheduled coming up. So local theater company owner Christina Rios of RS Theatrics and her husband Mark Kelly, who's an actor but also has the day job in the family. They have four kids. And how do they make their theatrical pursuits work? And how do they make their family life work? And are some of those coping mechanisms actually the same? Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear from them in August. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, any others that come to mind, Willis, that you're particularly interested in?
I think that one of the things that Nancy just mentioned in that piece that interests me is that kind of relationship of how does the personal affect these kind of professional art careers, and how do artists navigate having a life where they have to make ends meet as well. So I'm not saying that we're going to pursue specifically like how does one's finances relate to their art career, but I think drawing together those kind of like intersections of the personal, the professional, the creative is something that we're going to pursue throughout the rest of the series.
That's a tough life for people, particularly young people getting started, as Nika was doing, a mixologist by day and a performer or creative artist by night, trying to make a living and serve your art at the same time.
Yes, exactly. And I think, like you said, it's sort of the common question. How am I going to make all this work?
Yeah. How often are we going to be hearing?
Twice a month.
Twice a month.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And the next, the first one we've just heard parts of is out as of today. Is that correct?
It is. You can find it at stlpublicradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes.
All right. Well, we'll take a listen and we'll learn more about Nika and about more with what you're doing with this new season. Willis Ryder Arnold, thank you so much. Nancy Fowler, thank you. Good luck with the new season, the new podcast.
Thanks, Don.
Great
thank
to see you,
Don.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/STL on air. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.